And the first reading is Matthew chapter 12, starting to read at verse 38. The sign of Jonah. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here." Then going to the prophet Jonah, starting to read at the first verse. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. I'd like to turn over to the beginning of chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned." The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened.
Thank you. Jonah the prophet returning to God. When I first became a Christian, the thing I was first taught, because I didn't know one end of the Bible from the other, was that the Old Testament is read first, and then it points you to the New Testament. So, for example, I was told the seed is in the Old Testament, the flower is in the New. The shadow is in the Old Testament, the substance is in the New. The picture of the Lord Jesus is in the Old Testament, the person is in the New. And what is in the Old Testament concealed is in the New Testament revealed. So why did I ask for the New Testament to be read first, then the Old Testament? Why not the other way round? Well, the Lord is speaking in the New Testament, and his words are without fault or failing. We know the Lord Jesus is perfect in all his ways, in all his thoughts, in all his actions. So if the Lord Jesus says that Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, we can know that that is to be so. The liberal scholars, the rationalists, speak with a smile. They say, oh, Jonah, in the belly of the fish, in the belly of the whale, so what? But we know that the modern translations speak of a huge fish. In fact, some speak of a monster, Jonah being swallowed by a monster. The book of Jonah is a foreshadowing of the one who would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. It's a missionary book. Buried deep in the Old Testament, there is a missionary book, and the missionary book is the book that points Jews to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, this is why Jonah found it so hard to accept. Jonah, the son of Amittai, was an established prophet. We find this in the second book of Kings, chapter 14. In the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, became king of Samaria, and he reigned for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He, Jeroboam the second, was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. So here we see that Jonah is an established prophet of God. So why, in Jonah chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4, did the prophet, having heard the word of the Lord for Nineveh in Assyria, run in the opposite direction? Why did he go when the Lord pointed him to go east? Why did the prophet go to the west? Why did he go, or that was his intention, to go to the furthest edge of the Mediterranean, to Tarshish, which some scholars say was on the west coast of Spain. That was Jonah's intention. Well, we look at chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3. Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." We read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "God is not willing that anyone should perish." God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I ask the question, are we secretly willing to allow friends and neighbours to go on their way into what we know will be a godless eternity? Are we willing to let them go knowing that they do not know Christ as Lord and Saviour? Or are we secretly willing and wanting them to come to faith? Jonah fled from the Lord in the opposite direction. There came the storm. There came the materials and the cargo, all thrown overboard, including Jonah. And here he is, swallowed by a huge fish. And Jonah is now in darkness. He's swallowed by this huge fish. And he's going down, 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 down. And I'm asking, has something or someone swallowed us? Are we going down into a darkness? Have we been swallowed up by something and it's overwhelmed us? And we're going down, down, down into darkness. Jonah's prayer in the fish, we look at chapter 2 from this, from inside the fish, is spoken almost exclusively in the past tense. Look at verse 2. Here he is inside the fish. "In my distress, I called," past tense, "to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." And then verse 6. "But you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." In Psalm 27, King David says, "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Jonah went one stage further. He said, "Lord, you have delivered me from this monster. You have brought up my life from the grave. You have brought up my life from the pit." And the monster which swallowed Jonah carried him to the shore. That which has swallowed us will carry us to the shore. If something or someone has swallowed you, that which has swallowed you will carry you to the shore. And now we see that our God is the God of the second opportunity. Elijah, when he'd preached to Jezebel and Ahab, he fled due south down to the mountain of Horeb. And there in a cave, he heard the Lord's voice, a still small voice, saying to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Return, and I will show you what I have for you to do." He gave Elijah the second opportunity. When Moses stood in Egypt, and we read in Acts 7 where he slew the person that was offending one of his brothers, he believed that they would understand he was there to deliver them. They didn't understand, and he fled. He fled from Pharaoh into the land of Midian and was there for 40 years. And at the end of 40 years, when all hope was gone, when he thought, I'll never get a second chance at delivering Israel from Egypt. He stood at the burning bush, and the Lord said to Moses, Moses, go down into Egypt, for those who sought your life are all dead. They've gone now. And Moses went down into Egypt and delivered the people. And if we think of Mark, and this is the Mark that most scholars say wrote the second gospel. Mark had walked away from Paul and Barnabas in Pamphylia. He must have thought his whole life had been ruined. As we read through the New Testament, there were those who doubted Mark. But towards the end of Paul's life, when Paul was an aged man, he wrote a letter to Timothy. He said, oh, get Mark and bring him with you, for I have found him to be very helpful to me. So we're not surprised, are we? In Jonah chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. And Jonah obeyed. Are we hoping for a second opportunity to serve our God? Perhaps we've had one opportunity and it slipped by us. Now we're wondering, will God ever give me a second opportunity? In the ship, in the storm, a handful of sailors came to faith in God. In the city, clothed in sackcloth, the whole population came to faith in God. The thing is, when Jonah was out of the will of the Lord, a handful of sailors still came to faith. But when he was in the will of the Lord, a whole city came to faith. Come back to the center of God's will for you. Come back to the center of God's will for me. Come back in all fruitfulness and in all favor with the Lord. I said when I began, the theme of this message would be Jonah, the prophet who came back to God. It's not too late to come back to God in fruitfulness and in favor with him. Amen.